Good evening and welcome to Local Motion. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Sharing Ministries is a nonprofit, non-denominational, faith-based food bank in Montrose, Colorado. Their mission is to obtain food from various sources and distribute it at no cost to those in need. This food bank was founded in 1996. They have more than 150 volunteers now who run the day-to-day operations. Today, I'm joined by several board members, Tom Vogenthaler, who's the president of the board, Kirsten McGuff, who is also a board member, and Kathy Wilson, who's a board member and also a client. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to start off by asking you a little bit about poverty statistics and talk about the population that this food bank serves. In 2014, 15.5 million, or approximately 21% of the children in the U.S. are living in poverty, which means their families are living in poverty. Can you tell me what the statistics are here in this part of Colorado, the part of Colorado that Sharing Ministries serves? Do you have any idea what the numbers are?
The statistics that we have show that 32% of the people in Montrose County are at the poverty rate. In Delta County, there's 33%. San Miguel County, 21%. Ouray County, 22%. So a lot of the need that we see is concentrated in these four counties. And of course, like you said, it starts with the children.
Can you just go around and tell me, each of you, how you became involved in Sharing Ministries and why you care about it? Tom Vogenthaler?
I became involved about, probably 15 years ago. They used to have a truck that ran to Denver twice a month, and I was one of the drivers. And since I retired about 3 years ago, I got involved and volunteered generally 3 days a week. And just, it's an incredible place. The volunteer organization is just amazing. Last year, we pushed almost 1 million pounds of food through the building. The clients that we serve, we're up to 60 to 80 a day most days. And the need is just growing all the time, which is sad, but it's what it is. And we're there to provide it. And I'm really happy to be able to serve these people.
And Kirsten?
I've been on the board only about 6 months now. I became interested through, Tom approached me the first time, but I am very concerned about the state of our community and the fact that so many of our people in the county and the various counties are really struggling to eat, survive, etc. I was raised to serve. I was raised to contribute, and that's what I'm doing now.
You say you were raised to serve your community. What did your parents or you, the people that raised you, do that gave you that example?
My mother in particular. My father was a physician. My mother was sort of a homemaker. And she was very involved with working with developmentally disabled children, working with abused women, etc. And so I was constantly, you know, I heard about my mother's involvements in particular. And my parents also did Peace Corps work overseas and donated their services to the Caribbean in healthcare.
Oh, wow. They really were serving.
They were very
serving.
Involved, yes. And I am also a returned Peace Corps volunteer. So it's just what I do.
And Kathy Wilson, how did you become involved with Sharing Ministries?
Well, I am a single mother of two children. They are almost grown, but now I have two grandbabies also. And so I started out going to the food bank as a volunteer and helping with the warehouse, loading the bags, sorting the groceries, that kind of thing. But because of my situation being a single mom, I still have a 16-year-old at home, and he can eat a cow on a daily basis, and it's just incredible. And so I have a lot of respect for the Sharing Ministries Food Bank, because if I had not had them during this time frame, I don't know if we would have made it. Now, I understand that the box that the Sharing Ministries Food Bank gives us is only supposed to be a 3-day supply. but it's considered an emergency supply box. But there are so many things in it and so many different things in it that I have been able to share those with my neighbors. And also, too, you can stretch that out more than 3 days. So it has really helped me on a personal level. And with my son, I don't want to be able to have my son over to my house and not have some special food for him or any food. We got to have something to eat.
Did you have to overcome any challenges in order to go in and ask for help?
Yes, I really did. And see, that's probably why it was easier for me to be a volunteer. I think that people as clients of food banks and ministries such as this feel shameful. They feel like, oh my gosh, people will know that I'm poor. People will know that I didn't manage my money well, whatever the case is. But yet, the alternative is for you to not eat. And so we as people need to just overcome that, and we need to put our feelings aside. There are other people there standing in line that are just normal Joes, just like you and me, that they need to have a food box that month. And I have a lot of friends that go to the food bank, and I have a lot of friends that are on the other side of the table working at the food bank too. So yes, it can be shameful, and a lot of people still have that shame, I've noticed, but we need to eat.
Do you think that there are a lot of misconceptions about poverty? When you find yourself in that position, people assume that you're, you know, I don't know, uneducated or...
Yes, I'm sure
there's a bunch of different things.
Yes, and it's just a matter of circumstance that many of us end up in this situation. It wasn't that I really planned this in my life. I had some medical situations go on. So it ended up that I have just enough money to get by each month, but I make too much money to get food stamps. I make too much money for housing assistance. So I fall through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's imperative that I search for other avenues to be able to fill my cupboard. A lot of people, yes, I understand what you're saying, that there, some people think, oh, well, these people are just making bad decisions every day of their life, or they, you know, don't have a good grip on life, that kind of thing. That's not necessarily true, because sometimes we are a working family and we just fall in this spot that the high cost of food and gas and shelter, everything else, that we needed an additional help. Mm-hmm. So it is a humbling experience when you have to go to the food bank for food that you need. And it's intimidating because you walk in and you see people there that you may or may not know, and you may or may not like the way they look. You know, just like anything in society. But the one thing that really helped me was that the staff treated me with dignity and respect. And that was important to me, because then it made me feel like, okay, this will be okay. And no, it's not something that I want to do all the time. But yet, it's a necessity, and I need to do this.
How much money does it take to keep sharing ministries going and serve all the people that need help, Tom?
Our annual budget is somewhere between $280,000 and $350,000 generally. And we're completely grant funded and donation funded. We have no government subsidies of any kind. We actually distribute to government programs that we're not funded at all for. The TFAP,
mm-hmm.
TFAP and Senior Commodities Programs.
Mm-hmm.
We distribute both of those programs, which takes almost a day a week, probably a full day a week to do. And we do that because our business is to feed people. And if nobody else would be around to do that program, that food wouldn't get out.
How does someone qualify?
They're qualified by the National Poverty Standards, and everyone who receives food gets qualified on their first visit. The clients can come once a month and get a box. Like Kathy said, it's usually a full grocery cart full for a family of two, more, you know, for larger size families, obviously. If somebody comes and doesn't have proper identification and things, and they're obviously in need, we'll give anybody food. We won't turn anyone away. In the summer, we have people, you know, that are traveling through hitchhiking or walking or riding bicycles or whatever, and we'll give them what they need. And, you know, we try to serve absolutely everyone.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to also add that we have grown. The agency, the organization has grown 87% just in the last 5 years with the recession, et cetera, and we are now the sixth largest food bank in Colorado.
What does one get in the box? Is the food healthy in your view?
I would say that generally the food is healthy. It's a lot of boxed, maybe processed foods. It's canned goods, a lot of staples like flour, sugar. We do have some items that aren't so healthy, but generally I would say that the boxes contain very rather healthy foods.
Are you working with local farmers that contribute to the to give fresh produce during certain times of year?
Yes, most definitely. We have a lot of farmers that contribute immensely. We have acorn squash that comes in. We have potatoes. We actually go out and glean the fields for corn, and that's very rewarding. And it's substantial what is brought in and donated.
In the description of Sharing Ministries, it says that it's non-denominational but faith-based. Can you explain how this organization is faith-based? I mean, it's called Sharing Ministries. That might that might have something to do with it. And then how does faith play a role for someone who might come through the doors in need of assistance?
The organization was founded by a retired pastor and his wife. So obviously they were faith-based people. The majority of people, I believe, are church-going people. The non-denominational is that anybody can be a member. Anybody can be on the board. Anybody can contribute. We take volunteers of all walks of life.
And anyone can receive a box.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes.
People can help out by donating food and items to the food bank. Tell me what you're looking for in particular.
We are needing turkeys and hams for Christmas. I know there's been a shortage of turkeys. I do know that if I bring groceries in that cost me $10 at the local market, I know that if I went ahead and just gave that $10 to Sharing Ministries, they could buy more than what I could bring in.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do buy in bulk, and they buy by the case, and the Food Bank of the Rockies supplies a lot of the bigger purchases. So that's something to keep in mind, too, that if you have extra food at your house, yes, the food bank will take it. But if you also have an extra 10 or so, we'll also take that because that goes further with the purchasing power of the food bank.
And Kirsten, you're trying to raise some money right now to meet a grant, right?
Exactly. Our big emphasis right now is on what we're calling the capital campaign. And we are looking for $1.6 million. We are approaching 85 to 95% of that. We have received an enormous amount of grant money. We got a Department of Local Affairs grant for $600,000, and the Daniels Fund has given us $250,000. El Pomar has also contributed, and certainly these grants rely also on funding from the local community. And we have had businesses that have supported us immensely, and individuals in Montrose County in particular, who have given us very generously to this cause of a capital campaign and the new warehouse. We are very, very grateful, and I want to emphasize this, that we are very, very grateful for the amount that has been contributed so far, either through grants or through the local community, because we have received much, and we're very thankful for that. But we need additional funds to build our new warehouse.
So, yes, tell me about this new warehouse. What are you trying to accomplish with the grant monies that you're receiving?
Well, right now we're in a 3,000-square-foot building that we rent from the railroad. It has very little refrigeration or freezer space in it. We have three semi-trailers that are refrigerated, and they burn diesel fuel 24 hours a day, which is totally inefficient. Handling food from semi-trailers into the warehouse is time-consuming. We have a forklift that runs, you know, summer and winter in the snow. We have to put chains on it, and it's just not a good working situation. We have five other semi-trailers that just store dry goods because the warehouse is not big enough to store much at all. We've been in need of a new facility for a lot of years. We've had property that the food bank bought about 10 years ago, and a gentleman gave us a 125-foot by 50-foot building, metal building, brand new, about 7 years ago. And we're just now getting to where we can get a shovel in the ground and start building. We're expecting to break ground in March.
As a client, too, you know, with our new building, we'll be able to have a lot more privacy as a client, that other people will not be able to hear what our situation is and our income information, that kind of thing. And also, too, as a volunteer, it will be a lot better working conditions, because right now we work in a warehouse that has a garage door open the good part of the day, and sometimes we're back there in our winter coats and boots because it's so cold, because, you know, the products are coming in or out. And so those are two really big improvements for the clients and also for the volunteers. And right now in our current building, for the clients, we don't even have public restrooms. And that's an issue, because, you know, I have to stand outside and wait in the snow or the wind and the rain. And then once I get inside, I can't even use a bathroom. That's not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kirsten, you wanted to say?
Yes, I just wanted to add, too, that you can imagine with all this food that's being processed, et cetera, that the logistics of getting things from one part of the warehouse to the other can be very difficult. And also it's becoming a safety issue, because we are working in such confined space. And I work in the warehouse, and some days it's rather chaotic and overwhelming. We definitely need a better situation mm-hmm. to process the food for the hungry in Montrose and the other counties we serve.
Can you each share a story about someone that received help from Sharing Ministries without, you know, mentioning any names, but just maybe a story about how you feel Sharing Ministries has helped someone?
I was in contact with a lady that I know in town who was in a bad kind of domestic situation, and I don't see her very often, but I saw her one day, and I was asking her how it was going, and she was telling me her story, and she said that she had lost 30 pounds because she couldn't afford to feed herself and her children. She was giving the food to her children. And I said, please come into the food bank. And she was so embarrassed and, you know, unwilling to be put in that situation that she didn't even think of it. And so she said that she couldn't do it. So I went back to the food bank and I got her a goodly amount of food. And, it helped her over that period. And, you know, we both cried about it, and she, it really hit my heart.
I don't have a particular story to share about somebody specifically at the food bank, but I will say that when I'm in the community and people hear that I'm involved with the food bank, they always say to me, what a great program, because I had to utilize the food bank for a small period of my life with my children, et cetera, and they really were able to help us out when we were able to eat. And so that's a wonderful thing to hear.
In my neighborhood, there are a lot of people that have really great needs due to circumstances, either medical situations, addiction situations, mental health, whatever. But I can share a kind of a cute story that my neighbor had gone to the food bank. And, you know, all of us have our likes and dislikes. And I didn't go that month or that week, but he went. And then he shared with me because he didn't like the yogurt and he didn't like some of the fresh vegetables or something. I'm going, oh, geez. So it's really kind of a community thing that when you contribute to the food bank and you help us, that the clients that get them the groceries share with people around them too. So, and that's a real common thing, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. I've been speaking with Tom Vogenthaler, who is the president of the board of directors for Sharing Ministries, Kirsten McGuff, who's also on the board, and Kathy Wilson, who's both a board member and a client. I wanted to just let our listeners know where people can either send donations, where they can get help if they need to use the food bank, or they want to be a volunteer, how they would go about that.
Well, our physical location is 121 North Rio Grande in Montrose. The office is open from 9:30 till 1, 5 days a week. The volunteers usually start at 7:30 in the morning and work till 1:30 or 2 in the afternoon. You can come in the office to fill out a volunteer form. It's very easy to do. We aren't real restrictive on who we have volunteer. Most of the time we need drivers to do local runs to the grocery stores and wherever to pick up food and deliver food. We have some mostly pickup trucks, one larger truck. You can visit us online at sharingministries.com or share@bresnan.net. And our phone number is 240-8385.
Great. And when is the deadline again for what you're trying to raise some matching funds for these grants? Can you tell me when that deadline is? It's coming up, isn't it?
we would hope to resolve this by the end of the year and receive additional funds. But we do plan to break ground on the building in April. We have received okays on most of the permits, and we still are awaiting some of the funding from the grants. But we are eager to bring in another $150,000, $200,000. So.
And before you go, I was just going to ask you a little bit about the community that you are doing this in. It's in Montrose County. And mainly probably you're working with a lot of people from the city of Montrose. Tell us a little bit about that community and what makes it special and why you think this organization has been able to thrive and succeed in Montrose.
Montrose and the West Slope in general, I think, are I consider the whole West Slope a small community. And they're very giving people. They share good and bad. We get donations from a wide variety of sources. We serve a wide variety of organizations. Any nonprofit that needs food, we can deliver food to them if we have it at the time. Montrose in the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years or so, has really turned into a wonderful place to live, raise families. There's a lot more for young people to do. There's some jobs are being created, you know, but it's still tough to make a living around this area. I just am proud to be a part of the community here and hopefully do something good for the area. Keep doing something good. It feels great.
I think it is a very caring community, coming from a client perspective, that people tend to watch out for each other and tend to help each other out more. I've noticed that, you know, another neighbor came over the other day and he needed chopped tomatoes. He was making something for dinner. And so we are able to ask each other for help and receive that help, and that makes it very nice.
One more thing, Allie. I would like to really thank the city of Montrose. They were co-writers of our Department of Local Affairs grant for $600,000, and they have bent over backwards to help us with our new facility in innumerable ways, and I would just like to thank them publicly for all their help.
It takes a lot of people to make something like this work and keep going, too. So I thank you all for your work. And I've been speaking with Tom Vogenthaler, Kristen McGuff, and Kathy Wilson, all involved at Sharing Ministries, which is a food bank located in Montrose, Colorado. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.